and welcome to David's Book Talk. Today we're going to talk to Carol McCleary. She has a new book out called The Alchemy of Murder. It's a, what I would classify as a Parisian murder mystery. How's that sound?
Very good.
And with one of the most beautiful covers I've ever seen on a mystery in my life. I mean, that's what attracted me to this book at first, just seeing the cover. I love looking at the covers of mysteries.
So do I. Covers are gorgeous. Covers can make or break a book, I've always said.
Now, did you get any kind of approval on the cover?
Not really. They sent it to me and asked me what I thought. And the first cover, I didn't think it was, I don't know how to put it, gave a good enough feel, like eeriness or ooh, you know, mystery. Mm-hmm. And thank goodness they passed it by the sales force, and they agreed with me, so they changed a little bit. And there's the cover.
This is a fascinating book, and the more you read it, the more you get into it, the more you get caught up in the story, because Oscar Wilde appears in it, and Jules Verne, and Louis Pasteur, and of course Nellie Bly, who's the detective person.
Right.
So why did you decide to have all those different people in it?
Well, it kind of evolved. What happened was, I read about Nellie. A very dear friend gave me 10 Days in a Madhouse to read, which Nellie Bly wrote when she went to get a job with Pulitzer at the World in New York back in 1888. He told her it was no job for a lady. And he knew, though, he liked sensationalism in his newspaper that it was known for, and for breaking news. And so she said, well, I'll do a story that'll knock the socks off the newspaper. And he says, well, what are you going to write about? And she says, well, I'll write about Blackwell's Island. And he goes, ah, that's been done a million times. And she said, yes, by men, at a man's perspective. And she says, I'll get myself committed. He just looked at her like, uh-huh.
So she really did this?
Yes, in real life, she really did it.
What, was she crazy at the time?
No, she was a woman who wanted to do a job and work in a man's field. And she knew that was the only way she could do it. Otherwise, no one would hire her. And so he took a chance because he thought she was crazy. Where she was.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. The woman, it's amazing they didn't leave her in there.
Yeah. And so she also knew the 10 was his lucky number. Everything he did on 10. Like when he bought the world, he bought it on the 10th day of whatever month it was. 10 was his lucky number, so she said, I'll stay in for 10 days. And so she did stay in for 10 days. And when she got out, she wrote an expose about it. And for the first time, they cleaned up Blackwell's Island. Blackwell's Island was an assailant asylum for basically women. And it was known that once you went on Blackwell's Island, you never got off. Like when she got off, when the boat stopped to dock at Blackwell's Island, she says, where am I at? And the guy says, you're at Blackwell's Island. He says, where you'll never get off. And he was serious. Women, once they were there, unless somebody came and really asked to have them taken off, they didn't get off.
So it was possible that she never would have gotten away from that island.
Oh, yeah.
And she went in there knowing that and still took the chance?
Yes. But also, too, in my theory or my idea of life, her mother, you know, she brought with her when she went to New York. So I figured she also told her mother, if Pulitzer doesn't get me out in 10 days, you come and get me out. So I figured she had a backup. That's just my theory. Whether that's true or not, I have not a clue. But anyway, so she stayed there for 10 days, and the things that she saw was horrid. I mean, it was just horrid. Everybody should read 10 Days in a Madhouse. They have a nurse there, and I know I'm going to say her name wrong because I can't speak English.
Mm-hmm.
And her name is, like, I think it's Nurse Grump. It's in the book. And she was a horrible person, and what she did to the women, and I have one scene where Nellie's being washed down by one of the crazy people there. And when she'd wash her down, she'd go rub-a-dub-dub, rub-a-dub-dub, rub-a-dub-dub. And that really happened. It really happened. That's what happened to her. But, and I always see a movie. I've always seen Alchemy of Murder as a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the nurse, the rub-a-dub-dub, I always see is Catherine Bates. I can just see her playing that part so well. But anyway, once she got out and she wrote her expose, they spent New York City $1 million to clean up Blackwell's Island. And back then, that was a lot of money. This is back in 1888. That was a lot of money.
So she really did change some things, Nellie.
Yes, she did. She changed a lot of things. Like, she went on, she got herself arrested and went into the jails. And when she got out, she wrote an article about how women were treated in jails, and she got it so that there were women policemen, but they were policemen, but I don't know what they called them back then, women orderlies, who would dress down a woman and change her. And I guess before they didn't have women. She, her whole thing in life was to bring out the injustice that was happening to people, not just to women and to children, which was her main concern, but her also concern with people, also men, boys, you know, children. And she wanted to bring out the injustice that was happening around the world. And the best way she felt to do it was to become whatever that injustice was and then write about it so she could say, this is what I experienced. This is what really happened.
And it's, and of course, in this book, she's stalking a serial killer, trying to figure out who this serial killer is and how she can get him. And,
which we won't say who it is.
No, actually not. No, actually. But there's a very strange parallel between your book and another book I've read, which I want to tell you about, but I have to tell you off the air because I'll give something away.
Okay.
But
sounds good to me.
But it's the book starts slowly for me. I mean, I thought, you know, as more it goes along, the more interesting it becomes, you know, and they start to zero in on this killer. And
right.
And first of all, these pictures, how in the world did you get these pictures in the book? And
I was very lucky. When I was doing my research, I came across a gentleman, and unfortunately they didn't give him credit, and I asked him to in the book, a gentleman, and please don't ask him to remember his name,
right.
Frenchman, was he American?
Hmm.
Anyway, he went to France in 1885, 86, around that time, and he stayed in Montmartre, and my book basically takes place in the Montmartre district. And back then, of course, they didn't have cameras like we have today.
Mm-hmm.
And so he did drawings, and he wrote a book about his time in the Montmartre. And he had all these drawings, and it was perfect. And everything you see there, like the naked lady on top of a table that's being carried by eight other naked ladies, really was for real.
That's great.
It really happened.
You put a lot of interesting stuff in your books. That's what makes your book so good. I mean, there's so many interesting things. You must be a history buff. I mean, to have to write about this.
Yeah. Well, I my friends always kid me. I should have written for the Inquirer or something. Because I love history, but I also love unique or different things about history, not just your normal history, but like Jules Verne could not stand Oscar Wilde because of Oscar Wilde was a literary or literer, whatever they call him, and he was a member of the club that Jules Verne's always wanted to get it'd be like an Oscar, winning an Oscar award, you know,
mm-hmm,
like the Academy Awards. He always wanted to get a literary award, and he never got one because they didn't think his writing was literary.
Hmm. Now, have you ever been to this Montmartre region?
Montmartre?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's fabulous. And in the book, the picture of the Montmartre Cemetery,
mm-hmm.
I took it.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's mine.
I don't know where that is. I have to look through the book. I don't remember where.
It's up front.
Oh, there it is. I see it. It's on page 76. There it is, the cemetery. Yeah. You actually took that picture?
Yeah, I took that picture. Yeah.
Were you there at night? What was it like at night to be in that cemetery?
We were never there at night, but we were there at dusk. And, oh, it's fabulous. Oh, my God. No pun intended, but it's a place to die for. It is. It's an incredible cemetery. And supposedly there's another one that's even more fabulous than that one, which I find hard to believe in Paris. But
Did you have any trouble getting the book published? It's so interesting. I can't believe they would turn anything like this down ever. I mean, it's just so fascinating.
Yeah, it was turned down by a lot of people.
Well, why did they say they wouldn't publish it? I'm curious.
You know what? It's all a matter of personal taste. I used to be a literary agent, and I used to tell my clients, don't feel bad if you're rejected, because it's a matter of personal taste. That's why, you know, we have designers with all different styles of clothing, and that's what scares me about the world in some ways, is I feel we're losing that personal taste. When you go to a movie and you're with five friends and you walk in, three will love it, two will hate it. Three will hate it and two will love it. You know, it's a mixture. Some will like it, some won't. And it's just a matter of personal taste. And an editor is an editor. Yes, he's supposed to buy and hopefully buy something. Every editor wants to buy a book that, you know, is going to take off and make a bestseller, like, you know, Bridges in Madison County.
Oh, yeah.
You know, everybody wants to buy one of those, or The Da Vinci Code, or Twilight, the list, you know. But you don't know, because you don't. I know a really good editor who's been around for ages, and he says, you never know what's going to take off.
I was just,
and hope and pray.
I was just reading about Louise Penny, who had her. She had a lot of trouble getting published. She was turned down left and right, all over the place.
Uh-huh.
Now her first book is up for the best mystery of the century.
Wow!
I mean,
congratulations.
I mean, how much more ironic is it? Does it get than that? I mean, it's like.
Oh, it's very ironic. I mean, it's crazy, but you just, you know, you don't know, and so everybody. Like I said, they have.
And I think Steve Berry was turned down like 83 times before he got published, and now he's hugely popular.
Sometimes
it depends on the time.
Yes, the timing. Well, like Johnny Carson had on his mirror. Timing is everything, and it is. And you never know. It's you know what. Did you ever watch Shakespeare in Love?
Oh, I love that movie.
Isn't that fabulous? Remember the one guy kept saying, it's a mystery.
Yeah. Everything about that movie is wonderful.
Yeah.
Absolutely wonderful.
That was a fabulous movie. Well, it started out in the art houses, you know. It didn't start out in the big theaters.
Yeah.
It started out in the art houses.
And you know what?
Art houses.
The sad part of it is Gwyneth Paltrow got the Oscar, and Joseph Fiennes is the one who deserved it.
They both deserved it.
Yeah, I think
she's gotten it for best actress, and he for best actor. You know, they both.
Well, he wasn't even nominated. How bad is that?
Well,
I didn't remember.
Look at poor Paul Newman.
Yeah.
All the movies he did, and he was never even nominated.
That's hard to believe. Alfred Hitchcock in the same boat. You know.
Yeah.
Never got nominated.
Cary Grant.
Yeah, there's just, you can go on and on.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, how did you get such nice raised lettering on this book, too? That's unusual for a first novel. I love the raised lettering on the title and your author name, too.
I don't know. I can just thank the art department and thank the publisher.
I mean, it's amazing to have it on the first novel. You must be very persuasive.
I never said a word. That was all up to them.
That absolutely amazes me that they would, you know, just do that.
No, I didn't say a word. That was all.
Now, obviously, this is going to be a series.
Yes.
Now, are they all going to be set in Paris?
Oh, no. The second one is, of course, with Nellie Bly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called The Illusion of Murder.
Oh, wow.
And, yes.
So will murder be in every title?
Yes, I guess so.
Well, that's how people are going to know them. So I guess it's pretty smart to leave it like that if it's working.
Yeah. And what is it? If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Now, you've been traveling all over the place promoting this book.
I've been traveling all over the place. I've been...
You've been a lot of places.
Well, I've been all over the Cape. The Cape is fabulous. And then I did go back to California for a wedding, so I stopped off at quite a few bookstores, and they were absolutely fabulous. And M is for murder, or for mystery, Romans, and a bunch of them were just fabulous.
Poison Pen, have you been to Poison Pen yet?
Yes, matter of fact, they have my book. They have my book, and murder mystery or whatever it is in New York.
Mm-hmm.
They've been great, and then Partners in Crime. They've all been really fabulous. Just I love the independents. I think the independents are an unsung hero,
right,
to authors, and I hope they can keep surviving. But anyway, the Cape is, I've been very, very lucky, and the bookstores have been having me, and I've been to the libraries. And
how long have you had this idea to write this book? I mean, has it been in your head for a long time?
Oh, God, no. No, what happened was, like I said, my friend gave me 10 days to Madhouse to read, and I read it, and I thought, oh, my God, this girl's incredible. So I started doing research about her, and I realized... that there was no really adult book about her except some bio.
Why is that, I wonder?
And the best one was by Brooke Kruger, but it's a big, thick bio. It's fabulous, but it's thick.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a very simple person, and I learn best when I enjoy what I'm reading, and I'm having fun reading it. And history books a lot of times would bore me, or... you know, these thick bios that would go on and on about the person, even though they'd be interesting, my attention span, maybe it's because of my dyslexia, I don't know.
Oh.
And so anyway, and I, as you said, I'm a history buff, I love history, it was my major in college. So I thought, what a great way to introduce Nellie by mixing her into a murder mystery. And and having real history and mixing the two together. So
she's a very thin woman too. I'm looking at her picture in the front.
Oh, she's gorgeous. Very pretty lady.
She could have been an actress if she wanted to be.
She did do a couple of undercover acting jobs.
Really?
She must have been an actress. I mean, she should have been an actress anyway because of all the undercover jobs she did. I mean, she went undercover as a servant. As a prostitute, just all types of stuff.
Now, I love the relationship between her and Oscar Wilde, Nellie Vine. They seem to be, he almost treats her like a daughter. It's wonderful in the book.
Because
she thinks he's nuts, I think. I mean, I get the feeling that she thinks he's a little nuts, and he is a little nuts. I mean, Oscar Wilde, he was never the normal type.
No, he was very flamboyant. He was a wonderful, flamboyant person. He was larger than life, and in
literally,
too, literally, yes.
In many ways.
Yes. He's going to be in the third book with her again.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Are they going to solve the murder together again?
We shall see.
Oh,
it's work in progress.
You don't want to say, in other words, it's a secret.
It's also work in progress.
How many of these do you have planned out?
I have not a clue. It depends upon.
I mean, how many ideas do you have?
I right now I just have the third, and that's it. It all depends upon the market, too. You know, if the book keeps selling and people keep wanting more, then hopefully I'll be able to keep producing more.
Right, and what's been the reaction when you go to these things on the Cape? What do people say to you? I mean, who are their favorite characters? And
well, so far, when I go, I'm going to virgin territory in the sense of no one's read it yet. Like at the bookstores, no one's read it, and so I'm walking up and introducing it, giving it to people. Now, I had a couple of people at library talks that have already bought it and came up and wanted me to sign it. So far, knock on wood, everybody has really liked my book. I've had a couple of negative opinions, but they weren't like, you know, crash and burn.
Well, I just said it started slow. That's not really a negative opinion. That's
opinion.
Yeah, I mean, we're all, I mean, I always hesitate saying that because I'm afraid I'm going to offend the author, but sometimes they do start slow.
And it's okay, and that's, you know, that's your opinion. I've had other people tell me they just, they felt it started like wham, bam, you know. So it depends upon, again, it's personal taste, you know, and what your thought is or whatever.
Do you write what you would read? Or do you write...
I think that's basically true. What were you going to ask me? I'm sorry.
No, that was my basic question. Do you write what you would like to read?
Well, it's a combination of I write what I would read, because I think that's probably your best writing, is what you write what you like, you know. But I also try to write with keeping the public in mind, like, would this entertain them, and would they really enjoy this? I mean, because you might write something that's, I don't know, you have to, to a certain degree, keep your audience in mind. It's like making a movie, basically. When you're making a movie, you don't make a movie that only you want to see, unless you want to. I mean, you can. I'm not...
I think she looks like Winona Ryder a little bit. Nellie Bly. I think she looks like Winona Ryder.
And then another person that would be absolutely perfect, and can't remember her name right now, but she was a star in Uno, that young actress.
Oh, Ellen Page.
Ellen Page.
Yeah, she's good.
She would make it perfect.
She's got the strength, yeah. She's
perfect.
Yeah.
The height, the spunk.
I think you should send her a book and write a little note and say, here, I think you should play, this is your next role.
I would love to, but I would love to get it to her personally.
Right.
A lot of times when you send a book...
You never know.
Exactly. It usually goes to their agent, and the agent reads it, and if the agent doesn't like it... I had a friend in L.A. who wrote a screenplay, and he wrote for Clint Eastwood, and the agent got the agent and liked it, and one day the friend was sitting in a coffee table in L.A., and he's talking to somebody else, and he was telling about his screenplay, and lo and behold, Clint Eastwood was sitting right next to him, and he said, excuse me, but I'm Clint Eastwood, and he goes, yeah, I know who you are, and he goes, I love your story, and he says, I sent it to you, and he goes, no, you didn't, and he goes, yeah, I did, and he got it to him, and it was made into a huge movie, and don't ask me what it was, because I don't ever remember stuff like that, but,
really?
Yeah, I'm terrible.
Maybe it was Million Dollar Baby. Maybe it was Million Dollar Baby.
No, it wasn't that. It was a long time ago. It was one of the old westerns.
That's an amazing story, though.
Yeah, and so you never know who gets it. So, yeah, I would love to get to Ellen Page, but I'd love to get it to her personally.
Right, you'd have to go, you'd have to send it to her agent or whoever. But you have a lot of famous people in this book, so, I mean, how do you get Jules Verne so he's exactly what he was? I mean, do you read a lot about him and then?
Yeah, I read a lot of stuff about him.
I mean, he's crazy.
Pick up his personality.
Yeah, I thought Oscar Wilde was crazy, but Jules Verne's even crazier.
Yeah, he's quite a character. You know,
very strong-willed and doesn't seem to mess with anybody he can't stand or.
Yes. Yes.
Very much. What you would term a hard ass today.
Right. Needed.
But you have to, how do you know what they sounded like when they talked? I mean, how do you know, obviously there's no recordings of his voice or anything, but I mean, and
that goes into, I guess, just you hope and pray in literary license, you know, that you read enough and hope and pray in literary license.
And Louis Pasteur, too, you know, who was very...
Louis Pasteur, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he saved my life in real life.
He did?
Yeah, when I was a little girl, I was living in the Philippines, and I got bit by a rabid dog.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my father couldn't catch it, and so they couldn't take a chance, so I had to get the rabies shots.
Wow.
And if I didn't get the rabies shots, I might not be here today, because the dog might have been rabid, and I'd be dead.
Now, who, you already said Oscar Wilde's going to be back. Who else will be back?
Just Oscar.
Just Oscar?
Mm-hmm.
Do you plan down the line to get any more famous people in the books?
Like there's going to be one, I'm going to have Sir Conan Doyle.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Now that will be interesting.
Yes, I'm going to Sir Conan Doyle, and we have Oscar Wilde, and who's the other person they planned on having? I'm drawing a blank. I can't remember. There's one other person.
Right, well, we're just going to
have to wait. Second book, The Illusion of Murder.
Mm-hmm.
There's two famous people, and it's really going to be fun for me because a lot of people won't know one of the famous people. What I did was, in real life, Nellie said to Jules, Pulitzer, Joseph Pulitzer.
Right.
I want to try and be Jules Verne around the world in 80 days. His fictional character. And
Yeah, I remember
and
that.
He said, no, you can't. She goes, and why can't I?
Don't say that to her, you know.
Really. You never say no to Nellie.
That's true. Look what you never know what's going to happen. She might hit you.
No, she won't hit you, but she'll just say, humph.
Yeah, humph. Just watch me, you know.
So anyway,
well, what was Nellie like? Did she have a big family, or did she have brothers and sisters?
Oh, yeah, she had a huge family.
I mean, what did they think of her? Were they embarrassed at all by what she anything she did?
Well, when she told them that she wanted to be a newspaper reporter, they were like, "Oh no, you can't do that. That's not a lady's job." And they were horrified. And and her mother was the one who stood behind her. And
thank God for that, or who knows what would have happened.
Well, Nellie still would have done it, I think.
That wouldn't have stopped Nellie at all. Nothing was good. She's like a freight train. There's nothing going to stop her, you know.
Yeah, so when Jules told her she couldn't go, because he said women need too much luggage, which back then was true. Women carried these big trunks. They were fabulous. God, I'd like to have one as a closet. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're like mini closets. And they would take like five or six of these with them when they travel. And he says, and you need a companion. And she says, I don't need a trunk and I don't need a companion. And he says, well, we're going to send a man. She said, fine, send a man. I'll go to another newspaper and I'll beat your man. And he knew she would. He knew she would. So he said, okay. So she went around the world. She did it in 72 days. And she did with this little valise. And the hardest thing to pack, it's so funny, she left out a dress just because of this.
Mm-hmm.
And it so goes to show she's such a girl.
Now, how long did she live? I mean, how old was she when she died, and when did she die?
Unfortunately, she was 58 when she died. She was quite young.
That is young.
She died of pneumonia and heart trouble.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was all that excitement that you created over the years. That's what did it.
Really? Really? But anyway, so she went and she went around the world in 72 days. So I took her novel, Around the World in 72 Days, and I started her out when she lands in Egypt. And of course, I have a murder, and then she goes around the world, and I kept the same path, the same boats, the people, everything that she had in her book.
Now, this is book two or book three?
Book two.
This is book two. Well, that sounds really good.
It has magic in it.
And I thought it would have Harry Houdini in it.
No, but it has magic in it. It definitely has magic. And it has Sarah Bernhardt, and it has Frederick Salus. Do you know who he is?
That sounds familiar. That man sounds familiar, but no, I can't place the name.
A lot of people don't, and trust me, I had not a clue who he was either myself until I started doing research to find somebody to be her partner.
Right.
And he is our writer Haggard's King Solomon's Mind.
Right.
He is the real guy in King Solomon's Mind.
How interesting.
In Raiders of the Lost Ark, Harrison Ford.
Right.
Frederick Salus is the real Raiders of the Lost Ark.
What? He's the real Indiana Jones?
Indiana Jones, thank you. Yes, he's the real Indiana Jones. The real.
For real?
Yes, for real.
Who knew that Indiana Jones was real?
This guy, he did all the.
Did he look like Harrison Ford?
Oh, no. He was. Yeah, well, he looked like Paul Newman. He was fabulous.
You know, your voice just lights up when you're talking about historical stuff. You must be obsessed with it, but in a good way.
I belong back in the old days. I don't belong in today's world. I love the older world. I think it was much more intriguing.
If they ever have time machines, you'll be the most excited person on the planet.
I will. Let me on.
I always, and it reminds me of that movie Time After Time where they, with Jack the Ripper and...
Wow, that was great.
That was a great movie.
Yeah, it was. It was fabulous. So I have Frederick Salus. He had blonde hair. He was kind of built like Paul Newman.
I'm surprised you can talk about the second book. It's not even out yet. Now you're going to get everybody interested in this book and they can't even get.
Well, hopefully it'll hold up to the first one. You know, you never know.
You know, I'm really excited. I'm really excited about reading it. I really am.
Oh, thank you. But so she goes around the world and she has Frederick Salus. And she has... her and Frederick are kind of like, did you ever see African Queen with Catherine Hepburn?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They have that type of relationship, or Rolling Stones with Catherine Hepburn and Michael Douglas.
Oh, yeah, Romancing the Stone, yes.
Romancing.
Yes.
Rolling.
Yeah, I was going to say, what movie is that? I don't remember that movie, Rolling the Stone.
Neither have I. There's a band, I guess.
That's another good movie. I love that movie.
Yeah. And she has that relationship as they... I created that same relationship with her and Frederick Salus. You know, love, hate. You know, that type of relationship.
They worked... Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner worked out very well together. They always had this chemistry between them.
They did, yeah. And so I tried to do that same chemistry with... Nellie and Frederick Salus, you know. And so anyway, it's hopefully another fun, entertaining.
And how old is Frederick when the book is happening? I mean, how old was he at the time?
He was, oh crap.
That's okay if you don't remember, but
He was in his 30s.
So was he this swarthy adventurous guy like Indiana Jones was?
He was. They were modeled after him.
How did you find out that information?
Research, digging around.
That's amazing.
They were modeled after him. Matter of fact, I think it was in the last Indiana Jones or one of those. They said his name in honor of him.
Huh.
Yeah, it was all modeled.
I'd never heard of the guy. That's the most amazing thing. I've never heard of him.
I know. That's that.
Now, how does he spell his last name?
Salus. Oh, God. You're asking me? I can't spell. I think it's S.
You're a writer. You're supposed to be able to spell.
Oh, I can't spell. My girlfriend always tells me that. She goes, Carol, you can't tell people you can spell. You're a writer. And I said, I can't spell. My grammar is awful.
Well, I can't tell if you're saying sleuth or fluth or what you're saying.
Salus. Here.
Salus.
I have it.
I'm really putting you on the spot. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do
no,
that.
No.
I just figured you...
It's not putting me on the spot. No biggie.
You're really a terrific lady. I mean, you're fun. I mean, you're really... No, I'm not saying that just to say it. It's true. You're just a fun person.
Oh, thank you. Here, I'm trying to see if I... Here. S-E-L-O-U-S.
Oh.
And it's Frederick. F-R-E-D-E-R-I-C.
I wonder
Frederick
if he... Frederick Salus. Right. And he didn't even get any of the royalties from the movies.
No, well, he died. I mean, he was back in Nellie's time.
Right.
You know, so he was long dead.
Now, he'll only be in that one book, the next book?
Yes. They called The Illusion of Murder. He'll be in that one.
Now, this book came out in February or March? The Alchemy
March.
Of Mar- March. All right,
March.
So it'll be next March, hopefully.
Yeah.
I can hardly wait to read it. I'm really excited about that. You may have to slip me a copy of it somehow. No, but it does sound fascinating, and I mean, if it's as good as this one, and I'm sure it will be, because
God, knock on wood, I hope so. You never know.
But you know what? I just keep the mystery good each time. That's what I want.
Well,
that's what I love.
Yeah, that's the most important thing. That's what I learned from Agatha Christie.
You've got to have a good story that makes perfect sense from beginning to end.
Yeah, you can't have.
And it's not easy.
No, it isn't. It isn't, and you got to have the proper clues, and you can't have them do stupid things like. Don't you love those movies where the girl walks in the room, doesn't turn on the light,
right.
And you're
yeah.
like, turn on the friggin' light!
Exactly. Exactly. You're right. You're absolutely right. But it makes for a better thing if she doesn't turn on the light.
I know. When I used to watch movies with my mother, she'd go, why is she doing light? I said, Mom, it's a movie. They don't want her to turn on the light.
Now, who do you see in your mind? I think we talked about that already, about You thought it was Ellen Page. That's right. You did say that already. I've forgotten.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you who you see playing her.
Well, believe it or not, when I first started writing it, it took me 4.5 years to write it.
4.5 years?
Yeah.
But the second one didn't take 4.5 years.
No, because I was under a time limit.
So you're better off without a time on it?
I don't know.
Are they really hard on you?
No, it's just that it's better for your audience to have a new book every year to read.
And by the way, The Alchemy of Murders, it's from Forge. Forge is the publisher,
right,
which is a division of St. Martin's.
Right.
But
Tor Forge.
Just so people know where they're going to go to the bookstore and they're going to say, I think I know the name of it. I always want them to remember the title. So.
Yes, Alchemy of Murder by Forge and Tor Forge.
Right. I love the way the F slants down too. I love everything about the title. I wasn't sure I was going to like the book. I really thought, oh, what if I don't like the book? How am I going to tell her I don't like the book? I mean, seriously, have you ever had to tell an author you didn't like their book?
Yeah.
It's a very painful experience.
I can imagine so. Well, matter of fact, yes, when I was a literary agent, people used to send me books, mm-hmm. and I'd have to read them, and I'd go, oh, crap, how am I going to nicely tell this person, you know, how am I going to tell them... I can't represent it.
What do you like in a book when you read a book?
What do I like in a book?
Yeah.
Something that entertains. I mean, because to me...
Give me an example of a book that entertained you this year, besides yours.
Well, this year I haven't really read anything because...
You've been so busy, that's why.
Yeah, I'm busy promoting my book and then trying to write book three. And so, unfortunately, matter of fact... You want to hear the one book that I did read this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
I am curious now.
It's Agatha Christie's very first book called The Mysterious Fair
at Stiles. Yeah.
And that's the only book I've read this year.
Well, don't you miss reading?
Me? Well, see, reading is hard for me because I'm dyslexic.
Oh.
I love to read, but it's hard for me.
I think I'm dyslexic, too, but I love to read. I'd never be able to stop reading.
Oh, yeah. No. When I was a little girl, I used to, you know, take the flashlight and go in bed.
Yeah.
You know, do that kind of stuff.
And you know what I do when I read now? I look at a word, and I think it's one word, and it's another.
Yeah.
That drives me crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it drives me nuts,
yeah,
I think.
Or reading a sentence and then going, oh, this makes no sense.
Right.
And I'll read it, and I'll take it down to my friends, and I'll go, why did this person write this? This makes no sense. And they read it, and they go, no, Carol, read it. And I'm going, I am reading it. I've been reading it backwards.
Right. And I was going to tell an author last night, and I forgot to do this, but she has a habit of starting off a paragraph by saying something shocking that you don't understand, and then she'll explain what happened later in the paragraph.
Oh, that's what my friend calls personal thought.
And I hate it. I don't like it. I'd rather you just, we knew that already before you started the sentence. Because I feel like I've missed something. Sometimes I have to flip back in the book and think, wait a minute, I must have missed something here in this story.
Yeah,
and
I don't know.
It's really bizarre. I meant to mention that to her, but I mean, I kind of like it and kind of don't like it at the same time.
Well, it's good, but you don't want to have it constantly.
But did you ever read a book and then they refer to something that happened 100 pages ago and you can't possibly find that segment again?
Oh,
it drives you nuts.
Yeah, that's why you have to kind of like do a reference thing for them.
Right. I don't know if on the Kindle you can look up by word or anything. I wonder if you can.
I have not a clue. I've never looked into the Kindles or the Nook or Sony or any of those things yet. Because to me, I'm old-fashioned. I would rather have a book in my hand, something real, something I can feel through
the
pages.
How many countries have this book now?
It's been eight countries.
That's amazing. Well, that's a congratulations are in order for that. That's wonderful.
Thank you. With the second printing in Australia.
Didn't you tell me it wasn't real popular in France?
No, it hasn't even sold to France yet.
Why? Are they afraid to? Because it's about France?
Well, I had my Harvey Klinger, said...
I thought it was Harvey Weinstein at first.
No, Harvey Klinger.
Yeah, Harvey Klinger.
Yeah,
that's
Harvey
a great name.
Harvey Klinger Agency. Great guy.
Now, do these agents have to like the book before they'll even represent it?
Oh, of course, yes. I mean, well, yeah. Unless Stephen King comes to you and says, "Will you represent me?"
Right, exactly.
What are you going to say? But, yeah, because, well, you know, you're selling a product.
Right.
A book is a product. And it's like anything that you sell. If you don't like what you're selling, it's going to come across, no matter how much you think you're camouflaging it. You
right.
Aren't.
Well, why would you? Why would you bother if you didn't even like it to begin
with? Well, some people have to earn a living, so they go and they work in a store and they sell something they don't really like, but they've got to make a living.
Well, it's like going to a book signing and not even liking the author's work. I mean, what's the point?
Yeah, yeah. Well,
other than that, maybe you're fascinated by the author to hear
right,
what they have
or
to say.
You could, or you might be one of these people that like, you know, first edition signed by the author.
Right.
You know, you never know. But anyway, so what was I going to tell you?
I don't know. I have no idea now.
I don't either.
We were talking about book signings, and then I don't remember where the plot was going here. I think we
plastic and liquid.
I think we lost our way somewhere here. I was hoping you knew where you were, and you didn't know where you were.
No, it was leading to something, and I can't remember what.
Right.
Oh yeah, it's a product. When you sell the product, you have to like it, and so most agents know, and especially in today's market.
Yeah.
Today's market sucks. It's awful.
Yeah.
I mean, I really feel sorry for writers today. I mean, it is so hard to get published in today's market. I mean, it's really hard.
You really have to be good, and you can't fake it either.
No, no. You have to, in that opening paragraph, I used to kid my clients, authors, writers, whatever you want to call them, your opening and your end is the most important.
Well, did you struggle with anything in this book, The Alchemy of Writer?
The whole book.
The whole book you struggled? But specifically, what gave you the most trouble? I really got your tongue tied now.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Making sure that everything fell into place, making sure that it was as true to life as possible, and just pray that it all just, you know, you didn't leave stupid clues and write clues and you didn't take the reader too astray, you know,
mm-hmm.
And that the characters all kind of fit, you know, that they all mesh nicely.
Of course, it kind of has the feel of The Alienist about it, too.
Really?
I think.
Thank you.
But just that, you know... Historical stuff, and you know a bunch of famous people helping out, and you know it just
yeah.
it reminds me sort of like that. Yeah,
yeah,
I don't know if you've read The Alienist. Have you even read The Alienist?
The Alienist, yeah.
Oh, you have. Okay.
Yeah, great book.
It is a terrific book, and
yeah.
It just has that feel. It just it reminds me.
And another book with a fabulous cover. Oh my God! And you know another book that had a fabulous cover. I picked it up. Matter of fact. When I was in England years and years and years ago, Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil.
Oh, yeah, 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 absolutely.
That was a great book with a fabulous cover. That's why I picked it up. I was at the airport and I saw the cover and I thought, oh, my God.
I didn't think people really bought books for the covers.
Well, I'm kind of funny. It's like wine lots of times. If I see a wine bottle that has a neat label, I'll buy it.
Right.
Just because of the label. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Well, you're a store's dream. And you just buy something because of the look, and that's, you know, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, when you look at the Alchemy Bird, the cover, the T and the looks like a cross.
Does it really?
Yeah. Hmm. I'm just noticing this now. I have no idea what that means or why that would be like.
I don't know.
It does. It looks like a cross. And,
really,
and if you look closely, I think you can actually see Jesus a little bit. No, there's something on it, but it doesn't look like a body. But it's interesting.
Maybe that'll sell the book.
I have no idea why that thought just went through my head, but it did.
It's fine with me, you know.
But,
it's like one time when I was an agent, I had this guy's book I was trying to sell him, this publisher, Penguin Putnam.
Right.
Fell in love with the book, but he says, oh, no, 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 I can't buy it. And I said, why not? And I said, because it might end up like, what was that book that guy wrote that everybody in, I forget what country, burned it? And they literally had to put him undercover.
Oh. You don't mean Salman Rushdie? No.
Was it him? See, I don't know. Anyway.
I don't know.
And he says, you know, and he got bomb threats and everything. He says, you know, the same thing might happen. And I was like, well, what do you care? If they buy the book and burn it, they're buying the book.
That's true.
What do you care what they do with it? The more books they buy, they need a big bonfire.
I have to hand it. There's another author who was told by Glenn Beck. Do you know who Glenn Beck is? No, he's a radio shock jock. That's sort of a political radio shock jock. But anyway, he told this author, he said, you publish this book, you'll be dead in 5 months.
Wow.
I mean, imagine, and the guy published the book anyway. And, you know, he came to our store and he was doing the event and he told us that. And I was like, wow, that's pretty frightening.
And obviously he wasn't dead in 5 months.
No, he wasn't. And he's still alive. And he has a new book out. But it's like, wow. I mean, what if somebody told you that? Would that stop you from writing your book?
Well, it depended upon how much I wanted it out there.
Yeah, exactly. It depends on what you wanted to feed your kids, you know?
You know, and then also, too, that was that gentleman's opinion.
I mean, right.
He thought, oh, I don't believe
Well, he had reason to say that. There were apparently death threats.
Really?
Yeah, no. I mean, there were, it's, people are really strange. And now, you showed me the cover for the second book, and it's even, it's as beautiful as the first one, if
Isn't
not more so.
Gorgeous, yes. So, I think in some ways it's even better.
So can you promise that you'll have a really pretty cover on each book?
No. I wish I could.
Well, they can't stop now. If they have two pretty ones, they can't stop and not do a third one. I mean,
you never know. Three's a charm, so maybe three
But it's the same. Is it the same guy that painted the first one that's painting the second?
They weren't painted.
They weren't painted.
They're
not photographs.
No, they're a combination of different things, of different artists. There's like three different artists involved in that, supposedly.
That's amazing. I just love the covers. I mean, and of course, it's got the Eiffel Tower on the back, too, so it's even more.
Yeah, and people ask me, what is she walking into? And I said, well, I think it's the sewers.
Oh, there you go. That didn't enter my mind for some reason.
Yeah.
But anyway, we've just about run out of time. Boy, I can't believe we've already done 45 minutes.
Wow, I can't either. Time does fly.
And you are just a fun lady. You really are.
Thank you.
I love to hear you laugh. And I love this book, The Alchemy of Murder.
Well, thank you. All I can say is thank you, thank you. And I feel like I've been very blessed and very lucky I had great team. And so, in the sense of publishers, my editors, the people that worked on it.
And look at the result. The result is a terrific mystery.
Yeah.
So you can get the book, The Alchemy of Murder, in all your bookstores. It's from Tor. Or Forge, actually.
Right.
And this has been David's Book Talk, and we'll talk to you later.
Okay.